Please be seated, won't you? So I've asked this at all the other services, and I'll be curious to see how you guys respond, but how many of you have ever had an exorcism performed on you? Right, okay. Well, only one person so far out of the three. And then he said later, he says, I was just helping out your rhetoric. I've been ordained for 22 years. I'm in my 22nd year, and I've only had three requests for exorcism. You might not know this, but we do have exorcism rites in the Episcopal Church. Before you start flipping through the Book of Common Prayer, they're not in there. They're in the Book of Occasional Services, which is a supplemental text. And when you open up the page, it says, please call your bishop and ask for these. Because it's not something that the church now sees as a regular occurrence, and so it's sort of not meant to be something easy to do, because it can be something that can be used to abuse another person. Does that make sense? Instead of dealing with the reality. We have a science of psychiatry, we have a science of all kinds of other stuff, that we've figured out a lot of things about humanity, and so we have to be careful with our rituals. So the three requests, two of them were at the blessing of the animals. So involving ironically, dogs and not cats, or fish, or tadpoles, or the other things that come. The other one was someone who came that I didn't know, came to my last church, came in and felt, he was a college student, and felt that he was demon-possessed, and we sat and talked for a long time, and I said, you know, I don't really know if this is appropriate, but we can talk about it, and I called my bishop, and I made arrangements to meet with him later, and he never showed back up, so... that's just something that happened. So maybe he got it worked out. So sometimes when we hear this scripture and we think about what we're hearing, that the first person that we hear about here is a Syrophoenician woman. We're going to talk about who that is in a minute, who comes because her daughter has an unclean spirit in her. Now, maybe we've experienced people that seem to be like that. So maybe we can relate to that, but maybe we don't quite get it, right? Or maybe we could talk about it in different ways. Maybe she had a mental illness. Maybe she had, you know, she was unbalanced. Maybe, you know, all these different things that it could be. And if we get stuck on that, we kind of miss the real point of the story, which is that a Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and asked for healing. So let's talk about her. So all of you know where Syrophoenicia is, correct? Yeah, I had to look it up too. Syrophoenicia is sort of northern Syria is our modern day. So Syria, Syro, you kind of can get the similar name. So this person who approaches Jesus would have likely been Greek, would have likely spoken a different language, and a lot of scholars think that she was probably Canaanite. So let's remember our Bible story, right? Canaanites are not friendly to the Hebrew people. In fact, they are people that the Hebrew people have been at war with. To be a Greek person is to have the pantheon of gods and to be all of those things. So this is the person that comes to Jesus. And kind of interestingly, it's one of the only times that we have a Gentile, a true Gentile, coming to Jesus asking for something. And she comes to him, how? Privately in a home with his closest associates. She broke conventional expectations, for a woman would not interact with a rabbi, with a teacher, in a home. And she sort of broaches at night in privacy. Now, in her defense, her child is sick. Who wouldn't? And she'd heard that this person is doing miracles and is healing people. Who wouldn't bring or go and ask, right? But this is all the things that happen. And then we have this sort of strange statement that when you first read it, sounds like Jesus is being awfully cruel. And maybe he is being. What does Jesus say? When she comes in and says, you know, says, pleads her case, he says to her, let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. This puzzles people. I've had countless Bible studies on this one line because it puzzles people. It's not like anything else really that Jesus has said. Did he call her a dog? I don't know. Sort of seems that way. But then what do we have? We have even more from her. Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. This echoes another story that we might remember. Do you remember the woman who's hemorrhaging? And she approaches Jesus and she says, if I can just touch the edge of his cloak, that's all I need. I just need a little bit. So Jesus, as a rabbi, would have had something called a tallit on, which would, if you have Jewish friends, sometimes they'll wear them in ceremony. They have strings that sort of hang down. So what she wanted to touch, when you read the actual closer translation, it talks about tallit. You actually touch that hem, or just the edge. So the woman says, I don't need a lot. I just need a little bit. Think of the person coming in that Jesus uses in an example and says that comes in and places 2 pennies in the coffers, and the super wealthy person comes and dances and all that kind of stuff. We hear story after story that in Jesus' economy, just a little bit is often where he comes. It's the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, right? The tiniest of all seeds. The kingdom of God is like having faith that you can move mountains, yet being a tiny person. And so she comes, and Jesus then says, because you said that, go, your daughter's made well. Now, this interaction is really not for her. It's for the people hearing the story. Because what Jesus is preaching to is he's preaching to his disciples and the others around him. And what is he saying? He's saying God's kingdom is for everybody, even the Canaanite, even the Greek speaker, even the person who's not supposed to have it. And this was a whole new thing. It's a whole new thing, a new way of understanding. It's okay, Priscilla. It might be God. So. You know, that happened to me once while I was preaching, so I just ignored it. And they thought it was Jan, so it was great. So it might have been that right in that moment, Jesus is teaching those around him about what God's kingdom really is. So think about what Paul writes about, in Christ there is, no Greek or Jew. Think about our great hymn, in Christ there is no East or West, and him no, we go on and on about this kind of thing. This is the exact point. That the Syrophoenician woman comes and can, even with just a little bit, receives God's healing. You see, the people around Jesus would have wanted to keep it in the family, to keep it with the same. And I think the message for us and for all of us in this room, in this community, in the world right now, is this is not our faith that belongs to us, but it is a faith to be shared with everyone, even those that seem like they shouldn't have the faith shared with them. We have to be really careful about that. Because there are people who just want a little bit. The next story is this wonderful story about the deaf man who's mute who comes to Jesus. And they bring him to him, and he sticks his fingers in his ear, spits on his tongue, and says, Ephphatha, be open. I don't say it quite right. It's a hard word to say, so excuse me. The best biblical exegesis of this I ever heard, someone said, well, you know what happened? I said, no, what? They said, well, he got all the earwax out. I like to take it a little more than that. He says, be open. And then suddenly the people around him can hear the deaf person speak, and the person is open and seen as part of God's creation, part of God's kingdom, part of being. Again, it's a story about faith. Now, if you're able to come to church the last 6 or 8 weeks, we've heard a lot about the bread of life. There's a theme that happens in this particular cycle of lectionary. We have about 6 weeks of the bread of life stories. Now we're going to hear the miracles of Jesus for the next 8 weeks or so. We're going to hear story after story of the different things that Jesus did to impact people's lives. How many of you have experienced something in your life of healing? It's okay, raise your hand. Maybe it was a small thing. Maybe it was something big. How many of you have ever prayed for healing? This is always, I think, one of the challenging parts of Scripture, is because how many of us have prayed and not received what we thought we should receive? Right? We have to be honest about that. Sometimes we expect or we want that very miracle that we hear about in Scripture. We sort of want it to happen, and yet sometimes it doesn't seem quite right. It doesn't come the way we thought it would come. Part of what I think the challenge is as people of faith is just to be that, is to be a people of faith and to have a willingness to enter into that very time when we're expecting the miraculous. Today's the first day of Sunday school. It's the first day of Christian education. It's sort of the first day for this particular school year of what we're doing. And part of what we're hoping for is that we will raise children and youth and others through, and adults through our system, that will have some idea of faith, some semblance of faith, some grounding in Scripture, some grounding in God, some understanding of what they can do. We'll understand their life as a gift from God to be shared with others. And maybe they're inspired and they work hard and they study and they do the hard things and they do all that stuff and they discover something new and different and people are healed because of it. Is that a miracle? Any of you ever take a pill? Any of you ever have a medical procedure? Any of you ever use a cell phone and understand how it works? I know we've got people who work for Sprint, so some of you, you don't need to tell me afterwards how it works. I'm good. You see, the thing is we're surrounded by miracles born from the gifts of God all the time. So can we be open to hear and to see it? And even to speak about it? Can we be open to that? So maybe there's several things to take away from the sermon today. Maybe one is to recognize that God is not just for us, but God is for everybody. And it's not up to our social conventions or our social understandings or our limited view of the world to determine who can receive God's grace and beauty and miracle and be part of God's kingdom. And maybe another piece is for us to be a people of miraculous expectation. Bishop Claude Payne, who's a mentor to Kelly and I in lots of different ways, spoke of this often, about being a people of miraculous expectation. He would talk about it in terms of being a people of faith that expect the miraculous to happen, that expect the impossible. But he also would say to not be unrealistic with that, because what that means is we have to expect us to work at it, to be involved, to partner with God, to do the ministry that we're all called to do, to be out in the community, to be offering exactly what God is offering to us today. And to me, that's when it becomes real. I wonder what the woman said to her friends and her neighbors. She's not the one told not to tell anybody, by the way. Did you catch that? That's just the others around that see the deaf man begin to speak. She doesn't say that to him. I wonder what the people in her neighborhood thought and heard. Maybe there's some of the folks in the story of the Acts of the Apostles that come and receive baptism. Maybe there's some of the folks that carried on the traditions for us in the early generations of the church that we can sit here and tell the story. And even though Jesus told people not to speak of it, they couldn't keep their mouths shut. So maybe we've experienced those things in our life. Maybe we've found God's healing in all kinds of different ways. Maybe it's been a relationship that's been broken and it's finally come to reconciliation. Maybe it's been an addiction that we've been just completely consumed by and we finally have found healing from that. Maybe it's a sickness or an illness and we've found comfort or the ability to move through. Maybe it's that we can see the world in a different way Maybe it's all those different things and more. So, be open. Be open to seeing the miraculous around you. My challenge for you this week is to look for it. But look for it really. So here's the challenge. You got to get off your phones. You got to put the iPads down. You got to not stare at the pretty blue screen. But look around at the people around you that are walking miracles. Look around at the plants and the beauty of creation that grow and sustain you that are miracles. Look at the gifts in your own life of your talents, your treasures, your abilities that are gifts from God that are miracles. Look at the relationships, the community, all that's around you. And see what you can see. Someone you know just wants a crumb from the table. And maybe it's you that's going to offer it. Amen.